This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan. World Weather Incorporated says the latest data from the eastern equatorial Pacific Ocean continues to show very little reason to expect a full-blown La Nina event in the next few months. World Weather says this has been the trend for many months now, despite NOAA's ENSO model constantly predicting La Nina. World Weather expects more neutral ENSO conditions to prevail in the next few months, with a slight La Nina bias that will not allow traditional La Nina weather anomalies to evolve.
The two-week outlook remains nearly ideal for crop development across much of Paraguay and Brazil. World Weather Incorporated said nearly widespread rains will fall on Brazil and Paraguay Sunday into next week Tuesday and will bring enough rain to maintain or improve soil moisture. Argentina will see regular rounds of rain through Sunday that will slow field work, and World Weather expects widespread 2-inch rains Friday into Sunday in most of those locations.
The Midwest will see occasional rounds of mostly light precipitation over the next 2 weeks. World Weather Incorporated says most areas from central Missouri to Ohio and Kentucky will receive less than 3/4 of an inch of moisture. The northern plains will see areas of light snow over the next 7 days that will increase snow cover for winter wheat in some areas, but may miss northern South Dakota and southwestern North Dakota.
Livestock markets are being pulled higher by the feeder cattle market. Lowen and Associates market analyst Tyson Lowen says the follow-through buying from yesterday's sharply higher market continues.
We saw a very explosive open yesterday, especially in the feeder cattle market. That's coming from news out of Mexico of New World screwworms being found, which those were eradicated in the United States back in 1966. Although that still remains an endemic down in some South America countries. So that was a big bump that we saw yesterday. Live cattle sold off quite a bit into the close as the front few months were lower, but we're looking higher here. A lot of feeder contracts up over $2 again, and live cattle up anywhere from 40 to 82 cents here.
RCM Ag Services market analyst Steve Wagner says traders are squaring positions and heading home ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah, I think we're entering in the holiday market. I think there is some unwinding prior to the holiday. You got people that won't or don't want to be around tomorrow, won't be around on Friday. And so rather than have a position for the next 4 or 5 days, it's just easier to unwind and get out and get on the sideline. And then Monday they'll come back in and reassess.
Minnesota Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson is looking at the selection of Brooke Rollins to lead USDA with a sense of optimism.
You know, as a Democrat too, and I looked at that, I thought, well, okay, hopefully that's somebody that we can work with. And, you know, and also, I think it's really, really clear too is to just give that person, you know, I wish them well and I want them to be successful because we want our farmers to be successful. So I think people were encouraged by that pick.
Peterson is looking forward to learning who will fill USDA undersecretary positions in the next Trump administration.
I think it's really, really interesting to see. Obviously, we're going to get the extension, but a lot of unknowns, you know. And so I thought that potentially that pick also provides some certainty to those farm bill discussions and going forward. And then also a lot of talk about the disaster type situation. And looking at the disaster piece that Biden picked out or put out, you know, there is some dollars in there for our Midwest producers who have had, you know, flooding and some different issues there. And so, as we look at like a WIP type program like we had in 2019. And so we'll see how that goes. So I think that was a big talk of those two things.
Titan Machinery is reporting third quarter fiscal year 2025 earnings of $680 million. That's down from $694 million in the same quarter last year. Revenue generated from parts and service is up from last year, while income from equipment sales is lower. President and CEO Brian Knutson says the ag equipment business continues to face headwinds.
Reflecting the combination of challenging agricultural fundamentals, which include lower net farm income due to the decline in commodity prices across key cash crops, high input costs, and the lagging effect from higher interest rates.
Knutson says the company is seeing positive results from its inventory reduction effort.
We have made some early progress, but we are only just beginning to move the needle and still expect the majority of inventory reductions to be realized as we progress through fiscal 2026. Nonetheless, in the third quarter, we were able to decrease our total inventory by approximately $115 million. This result was achieved through our aggressive strategy geared toward enhanced sales incentives to drive retail demand.
NDSU Extension hosting a tax management program via Zoom. Extension Farm Management Specialist Ron Haugen will host the event, saying they have a good lineup of presenters and speakers.
We have four speakers lined up this year, and we always do it right around tax planning time. So when producers are thinking about, well, time to get that year-end tax stuff figured out. So we usually do it this time of the year. And we have Alan Gregerson from the IRS that's going to be speaking, and Rob Holcomb. He's from the University of Minnesota. He teaches the tax schools in Minnesota. And then we have J.C. Hobbs. This is a new person for us. We have him speaking this year. He's from Oklahoma State Extension, and he's going to talk about energy credits and such. And then we have Russ Tweeten from Ag Country. He's going to talk about retirement planning.
Topics covering a wide range from taxes to carbon credits.
We're going to cover a lot of different things. We're going to get into some of the IRS updates. There isn't really too many new rules. And then we're going to get into it's called a beneficial ownership interest. It's a topic that's hitting the waves as far as tax preparers go. And we talked about energy credits and retirement planning. A little bit on depreciation. As we know, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act was set to expire at the end of 2025. But
you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. fertilizer markets faced some significant headwinds in 2024. Fertilizer Institute President and CEO Corey Rosenbusch says despite the numerous issues that plagued the industry, the future is looking bright.
The Canadian rail strike was a real scare as we were starting to position potash that we import from Canada. You know, we import 93% of our potash, and 85% of it comes from Canada. So that's always a risk and a challenge that we were quite concerned about, but luckily averted that. The hurricanes did impact phosphate production in Florida. I think 250,000-ish metric tons. All of that's, of course, back up and running now. The river levels are really low, so I was talking to a member company yesterday that says they have not been able to unload a barge at their facility since June. So it's a challenge. There's always something, but we're resilient. I think that's the story of 2024.
Rosenbusch is hopeful for potential regulation throughout the industry in 2025.
I think most of the industry is optimistic about deregulation. When we survey the industry year over year, number one business challenge are regulations. And I'd say really consistency in regulations. So I think generally speaking, Republican administrations tend to be more favorable when it comes to the regulatory environment. So I think we're looking for examples of where we're going to have a strong business environment that will help members invest and grow their business and create jobs, particularly on the environmental permitting side of the equation.
The Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Conservation District's annual convention is coming up next week. Executive Director Leanne Buck expects nearly 700 members to attend this year's convention, which will cover the latest in water conservation practices and policy.
We're pulling in together approximately over 700 individuals from across the state of Minnesota. And the primary function is for our members, who are local soil and water district officials and their resource professionals, to come together to learn from each other. And probably the biggest thing, too, is to promote and adopt local conservation policy. And we do focus on voluntary conservation programs, so we continue to learn from each other and advocate for that voluntary conservation programs with citizens across the state of Minnesota, many who are farmers and are enhancing their operations.
Carbon capture will be a focus.
I think the other piece that we're going to be thinking about is data And I think as we continue to look at making strides and showing accomplishments in water quality, and I think the other thing that's coming down the road for a lot of individuals and trying to understand is what I would say carbon reduction and carbon, how do we store carbon? So that seems to be a topic as we try to figure out how does a landowner access these opportunities potentially for reducing their carbon footprint.
Premier Soil Health event is scheduled for next Tuesday and Wednesday in Mankato, Minnesota. Minnesota Soil Health Coalition Executive Director Mark Gutierrez says this year's event is drawing presenters from across the country to share their research.
We have a great lineup of soil health educators, both national and regional and local, and gives farmers an option to pick the topics they're interested in. We have a couple of really exciting topics with John Kemp there to talk about nutrition and crop nutrition. I think we'll all learn a lot from that. We have Jolene Carlson, one of our board members, there to talk about the soil health and human health connection, and I think we'll learn a lot from her. I've heard her speak before. And then one of the highlights that I'm actually looking for from the talks is we have an agronomist, Joe Altz, who's going to share a lot of information from studies he's conducted throughout the year.
Also at this year's event will be the announcement of the Leopold Award.
The Leopold Award focuses on landowners and farmers who are really, demonstrating outstanding conservation practices on their land or operation, and they're nominated by themselves or peers, and it's a panel of mix of farmers and ag professionals who select the winner. And this year we had four finalists for the Leopold Award out of all of the nominations they received, and winner has been selected and will be announced at the evening of the social hour at the Premier Soil Health event.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Polish farmers are threatening to block all border checkpoints with Ukraine. The farmers are upset with an influx of agricultural imports and the impact on local prices. Poland's agriculture minister promises to prepare a response to the protesters. Blockade is scheduled to take effect December 10th if action isn't taken.
Indigo Ag's line of biological seed treatments are seeing great results. National Sales Director Shannon Nadd says these products are a great way to naturally reduce stress on plants.
We got a really nice portfolio of biological seed treatments, naturally sourced microbes, help protect against abiotic and biotic stresses. On the abiotic side, heat and stress microbes that we've sourced that once expressed within the plant. And most of our microbes are either bacterias or fungus, endophytes. So once these endophytes are taken in through the roots, they start on the seed treatment. Once they come up in through the roots, they act as an endophyte, and they're expressed throughout the plants, roots, stems, leaves. And in case of our abiotic products like heat and stress microbes that specialize, sourced by nature and specialize in helping protect against heat and stress, the results have been very good.
A new biofungicide is showing to increase yield in both corn and soybeans.
Our mainstay products is we have a heat and stress microbe for corn and soybeans. We call it M34 on the soybean side, W12 on the corn side. Those are our established products. This year, early results is we have a biofungicide product we call X19. Right now, it is the highlight or the standout performance here for 2024 so far, showing exceptional yield uplift on corn and soybeans, and particularly on corn. And if those trends continue as we expect, it's going to be a remarkable ROI in a positive way. But the hot product right now is our biofungicide on corn, and we're seeing very similar results with our bionematicide on corn as well.
Checking quotes, December wheat Minneapolis down 2.25 cents, 578.75. December wheat's up 3.5 cents, 539.25. Kansas City's December hard red winter wheat's up 4 cents, 550.5. December corn down 4.75 to 420 even. January soybeans down 2.5 cents, 983.25. March down a penny, May up half a penny. In Winnipeg, January canola is down $11.60 per metric ton at $581.40 Canadian. On the cattle side, December live cattle is up 52 cents, 187.02. February is up 2 cents, 187.72. April live cattle up 2 cents as well. January feeders up $2.50, 257.97. March feeders up $2.12. The Semmerlean hog's up $1.02 at $83 even. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.